We are thankful for all who are here today, those who teach, encourage, or sing, those who pray, lead, or listen, those who help, love, or witness. We are all part of the body of this church. Let's worship God together.
Please stand and turn in your blue hymnals to number 307, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant? We will do verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Will you let me be?
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. Are there any guests that need to be introduced? Welcome. Okay, I'll jump into the announcements. There's a couple or a few that I would like to highlight. Number one, condolences go out to Melissa and Brad Klassen, Cora Lowen, Andrea Hutchinson and Dave Healy, Tim and Miranda Lowen, Irene and Art Dick, Vic and Betty Lowen, Elfrida Gertz, Corny Lowen, and Lena McCracken, and their family and friends on the passing of Harry Lowen, age 77, on October 8th, 2019. The funeral took place here yesterday. We typically do a memorial hymn shortly after. We're going to postpone it till next week. Harry was a big fan of country gospel, and Marv and friends are playing next week, and we thought it would be a good thing to play some country gospel for him. Number two, please keep Annie Bergen in your prayers and pray that, God willing, the health issues with her heart and lungs improve. Number three, please join us next Sunday, the 20th, for the first of six listening circles. So these we'll be meeting in the fellowship room upstairs from 9:30 to 10:30, and our first topic to be discussed is going to be technology. All are welcome to attend. Number six, if your house isn't full enough already, the church would like to give you an opportunity to purchase big round tables. These have been replaced with a lighter version. The tables are $50 each, and if you would like one, please contact the office. And then number seven, we're missing a custom-made cutlery dryer from the kitchen. If anyone knows its whereabouts, that would be great. Are there any other announcements or sharing as well, if there's anything?
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Lizzie. Wow, that is an outfit you have on today.
Thank you. I'm wearing these clothes as a last goodbye before I donate them.
Donate them? Where?
Here, right downstairs, by the south stairwell. North Kildonan Mennonite Church is collecting donations there for the clothing drive that's happening on Tuesday, November 5th.
Clothing drive? What is that about?
Some of the neighborhood families, many who also utilize our food bank resource, also struggle to fulfill their clothing needs of their families. So we have a clothing fair where they can come and pick out clothes for free. For those of us who have too many clothes, this is a chance to clean out our closets and help someone who really needs it. This year, we're also collecting school supplies, both new and used.
That's awesome. I had no idea our church did something like that.
Me neither, but I'm so glad we do.
What kind of clothes are needed?
All sorts. Warm winter clothing, especially with the weather we've been having. Clothing for men and women and children. Kids' clothing is especially needed.
I'll have to go home and clean out my closet. But if just you and I do it, will there be enough?
No, we need the whole congregation on board. Do you want to ask them?
I'd love to. Hey, you've read the announcement in the bulletin and have heard it spoken aloud. We need your help. Please bring gently used clothing, all sizes and all kinds, to the south stairwell before November 3rd. Your donations will make a huge difference to someone in need.
My name is Lizzie Schrag, and I endorse this message.
Since you're inviting both sharing and sure. Announcements, right? That's what you kind of indicated. So, let's see, we'll start with talking to you about Elfrida Redekop. Many of you will know this, but some of you won't, and it's not in the bulletin, but Elfrida has been hospitalized this week. She's been in the hospital most of the week, and they're working at getting an infection under control. Rudy does expect that she'll return home. But, you know, these are hard times for them, so keep them in mind as you're in prayer. And the announcement that I would add is to remind you that we are going to do a church Bible study night again. Last winter we did it, and it felt like the response was pretty good, and people were fairly eager to participate, and so we thought we would do that again, and so we're starting this week. And I've invited you in the bulletin. I thought, we're just going to go through a gospel together. So I invite you to read Mark chapter 1 if you're thinking about being there in advance this week.
Hi, I'm Courtney Lowen, and I have two announcements. One is to thank everybody that helped with the funeral yesterday, both setting up and cleaning up and serving and all that stuff. We thank you very much. The other one is from Church Council. We're getting near the end of the year, and we need some new blood on Church Council. We're not replacing the whole council or something, but it would be nice to get one or two people on council that haven't been there or have been there in the past and would like to serve again. It isn't an onerous job. I thought when I took this job it would maybe be a little bit difficult, but it's really not. It's sometime once a month and on occasion some other things which the council is involved in, but it can be enjoyable and you get to be of some service to the church. So I would like you to consider that. Thank you.
Hi, Betty Lowen. I just want to ask for prayers for our Kim and Derek. Derek is beginning a session of 33 radiation treatments this Thursday, and that means driving from Morden to Winnipeg every day for, you know, 6 weeks or however long it takes. So, yeah, they need prayer with the roads that we've just seen. Kim couldn't get to the funeral yesterday, which was sad.
Anybody else? Okay, if the kids would like to come up, it's time for a story.
Morning. Is this working? Yep, it's on. Good morning. Okay, today, the grown-ups, we're going to be talking about gifts. Who likes gifts? Everybody likes gifts. Gifts are fun. But these are not the kind of gifts you open. They're the gifts that you have because you're you. So, I have some stuffies. I see you have some too. What do you think is the special gift of a polar bear? He's cute. Yes, he is very cute. But if it was a real polar bear, what would be his gift? What would he be really, really good at that maybe other people aren't so good at? Is he really... Oh, yeah. Walking on ice, exactly. When I walk on ice, I need to have something special on my feet or I have to hang on to Mr. White. He can do it all by himself. He's really good at it. Okay, he doesn't need skates. I need skates. Okay, what is a fish really good at? Yes. Swimming. He's an awesome swimmer. When I swim, I usually need to keep my feet on the ground, and I just pretend with my arms. So I'm not a very good swimmer, but he is fantastic. Okay, one more. I think I have a bat here. What is a bat really good at? Yes. Yes, that's right. He can see in the dark and he can fly. He's good at, really good at two really special things. No, they're black. and he's black, but they're there, I can promise you. Okay, so now I want you to pretend that these three guys all go to school, and they have a teacher. And the teacher says, Polar Bear, you are awesome at walking on ice, but you don't know how to fly, so you need to go into a class and learn how to fly. And then the teacher looks at the fish and says, Fish, you are an awesome swimmer, but not so good at walking on ice. You need to go into a class to learn to walk on ice. How happy do you think my two friends are? Would the fish be happy about walking on ice? What's going to happen to him if he's walking on ice? He's going to slip, yes, and he has another problem too. He might fall. Can he breathe if he's not in the water? No. Is this a good idea for them to learn how to do something else really well when they're already very good at fish, at swimming and at walking on ice? Do you think God made a polar bear to be really good at walking on ice? And that's where he, why he lives where he lives? And do you think God made the fish really good at swimming? And that's where he, why he lives where he lives? And I'm going to tell you something. God made each of you special at something. And he put you where you are because you're so special at that thing. The teacher did look at the bat, but the story's getting long, so I'll leave the bat alone. So the message today is, be who you are and do what God gave you the gift to do. So don't be a fish that tries to walk on ice. Be a fish that swims. That's right. Don't be a polar bear that tries to fly. Be a polar bear that walks on ice. That's all God wants. He wants you to do what you're good at, and he wants you to do it in a place and in a way that helps other people see how awesome and wonderful God is. He wants people to look at you and say, Jacob, you are awesome because you're Jacob, and I want to be like you. That's okay. All right, so some of us get all worried because we're not doing what someone else does. Do you think a fish ever worries that he can't walk on the ice? No, a fish never worries about that. And so we shouldn't worry if we can't play piano like our beautiful pianist, or if we can't sing like my lovely Tana Betty. We shouldn't worry about that because we all can do different things that help our church get better and stronger and show other people how much God loves them. So can we bow for prayer? Dear God, thank you for giving me gifts. Help me to do the things that I am good at to help the church grow stronger so that more people can learn about you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And today, you get to go back and sit with your moms and dads.
Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 421 and stand as you're able. We will do verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
join me in prayer. Dear God, we gather today as members of not just our church, but your church. We come here to learn, to be comforted, and to be together. We take time out of our busy weeks because this is important. It's important to think about things that are bigger than ourselves, you and your kingdom. Help us to be good representatives of your body. Let us see need and respond appropriately with our gifts. Help us to help those who are lonely, comfort those who are grieving, be happy with those that are celebrating, do jobs that need doing. We also pray for those who are using their gifts to make this world a better place. Please give them strength to carry on. As well, please be with our political leaders as they make decisions regarding how best to run our cities, province, and country. And finally, please be with us as we prepare to vote in the upcoming election to choose our next leaders. Help us to make a decision pleasing to you. Amen. It's now time for the offering.
Please turn to number 487 in your hymn book. First scripture reading is from Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Second reading is from Romans 12, 3 to 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body,
and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Well, I wish you a good morning, too. And we wish a good morning to all those people that are at their cottages this weekend. That is why we have more room in the house today, isn't it? Oh, yeah. We've been moving along pretty well here, and we could probably dispense with the sermon since Ingrid did such a masterful job of giving a lesson to the children that was really applied well to all of us, didn't it? She's that's very good. But, you know, I spent some time here yet late yesterday afternoon writing a sermon, so I think you should get it. It was an interesting week with working through a funeral and then adding a sermon, and I don't know. I feel a little bit challenged to be working on two different scripts at the same time. It feels like a bit extra. So a bunch of it got done later yesterday. Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious God, you are a God who gives so much. We are grateful for that. We live within that grace. We pray that as we consider what we might learn from the scripture passage we selected this morning, that you would guide us by your Spirit you have given to us. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we have examined three of the eight church qualities that natural church development states lead to fruitful, growing churches to this point in our current sermon series. I guess I could try to test you to see if you remember the three that we have looked at till now. I'm guessing that wouldn't result in great success. Let me remind you. Number one was loving relationships. The second one was inspiring worship. And the third was empowering leadership. Now, I think it's fair to say that we are a church that desires to be a church that is fruitful and growing. We want to be a good church. I think it's also reasonable to believe that we are engaging this preaching series with questions about the quality of our church in the categories that natural church development puts forward, and that considering the material seriously is a factor in moving us toward becoming a more fruitful church. So the quality that we are considering this morning is that of gift-based ministry. Natural church development approaches this quality from the perspective that every Christian, every person who has chosen to follow Jesus in life, has a gift given by the Holy Spirit that is designed to be used in the church. They would argue that when Christians come to understand their spiritual gift and use them in the ministry of the church becomes a better place. Their approach seems to correspond with the kind of emphasis that I remember in my youth and later on too, the evidence of which remains in my file on spiritual gifts. Now, I don't know, you know, I haven't grown up with you. I don't know if you've experienced this emphasis in the past like I did or not. In any case, opening my file on spiritual gifts brought me face to face with three or four different tests designed to help a Christian discover his or her spiritual gift. Now, the people who designed those tests put together a whole lot of questions about what the test taker likes to do, what their qualities are like, and then when the test taker finishes the test, you tabulate all your scores and you look at the guide at the end, and then you find out what your gift is, which, of course, is a freeing and energizing thing. Now, looking at those tests in my file, and I didn't do any of those, but it made me wonder whether there isn't such a thing online these days. I think the last time I did something like this, we didn't have online capabilities. I guess that's a while ago, huh? So I looked online, and sure, there's all kinds of tests to determine your spiritual gift online. Natural Church Development has their own, actually. You've got to pay to take that one. So I thought there must be some free ones, and there are. And so I spent a bit of time and took two of those. You click your way through the multiple choice things or the true and false or whatever pretty quickly. So I took two of those, and I didn't have to pay, but I did have to give them my email address, which puts me on an account somewhere so that now I get unsolicited emails. I suppose I can unsubscribe them. Anyway, there might be something interesting in them. Who knows? And I guess it's worth getting onto a list like that because now I know what my spiritual gift is. And I find out that perhaps I really shouldn't be a pastor. No, I'm joking about that. Actually, the gifts that it comes up with are pretty in tune with this. I'm not trying to talk myself out of a job again. But one of the online providers of those tests gave a series of statements that revealed their beliefs about spiritual gifts. Now, we have read two passages from Paul's letters to the churches in Rome and Ephesus that spoke of people in the church receiving gifts from God that are intended to be used for the benefit of the church. The other passage where Paul writes about this concept is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there he identifies these gifts as being given by the Holy Spirit. And I think that phrase in itself drives some of the beliefs that I read in this online resource, and that I think Natural Church Development draws their ideas from as well. And I have some questions about it. But I'm going to throw some of these beliefs at you here and let you think about them. So these beliefs include the following. The gifts that are being spoken of in these passages are not just natural talents. They are a supernatural capacity for service to God. That's one. Another statement that caught my attention: every Christian receives at least one gift at the moment of salvation. Now, that one adds a whole bunch of sort of things that we might debate about and question. I mean, who knows when the moment of salvation is, but it belies a bias, I think, in that particular online resource. But we would wonder about that. Another one: having a spiritual gift brings with it a supernatural desire to perform the duties of that gift. Interesting thought, isn't it? And another belief that seems to be present is that the gifts that Paul describes in those three passages is the sum total of all possible spiritual gifts. So when you combine the gifts that are listed in those three passages, Peter says something about using gifts too in his letter, but I don't think there's any list of particular gifts. So if you combine those three, then you come up with the total number of gifts of the Holy Spirit. That seems to be what these tests and this thinking somewhat based on. So then, when you take this test and finish it and you score it, then the computerized scoring system tells you which gift in that list of gifts you possess. Now, I feel like this whole system of thought was emphasized to some degree in some of my younger life, in the Christian life, and really that I've thought about and found wanting. I am not convinced that this is the right way to conceive of all this. I have some questions about those ideas, and so then I end up having some doubts about Natural Church Development's emphasis in this area, and of course we're using their resources and so on to work on this. Now, having said that, I don't want to preach a sermon that is all about questioning a certain Christian idea. I don't think that's particularly helpful. But let's rather take a look at what Paul has to say about spiritual gifts in the passages I selected for our study this morning. In the Romans passage, Paul compares the church to a human body, just as he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage I mentioned earlier. In less detail here in Romans than he does in 1 Corinthians, Paul thinks of the body having a variety of parts that do different things, and then he compares that to a church. We all commit together here to be one particular church, and we bring different abilities and interests to the enterprise of being the church. Well, Paul then lists a variety of abilities, of gifts that a human might have and that could be used in the church. In this case, Paul discusses briefly seven gifts. Prophesying, and I think that means in this case sort of a special ability to communicate the message of God to people. Serving, teaching, encouraging, financial giving, leading, and showing mercy. This is an interesting mix of gifts. It doesn't feel like it's a comprehensive list, does it? And it feels like it's an interesting one. Some seem to be leadership oriented and some not. Some are things that we would think anyone could do, and others we would think call for more specialized ability. See, I don't think this is any kind of list of comprehensive gifts. These were just the gifts that Paul thought of as he penned this letter. He may even have been thinking of certain specific people in the church that he was writing to when he put the list together. In Ephesians, Paul had a different kind of list of gifts. There he thought only of the leadership type of gifts, it seems. He said God had given the ability to people to be apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The list in 1 Corinthians contains some of these and some different gifts. Now, as I've already suggested, my opinion, I guess my opinion has to come into play here somewhere along the way. My opinion is that the spiritual gifts listed in Paul's letters are not all the spiritual gifts that are possible. I also hold the opinion that there are gifts mentioned there that are held by every one of us. When Paul speaks of serving or encouraging or showing mercy or giving financially, I think those are things that we're all called to do all the time and that God equips us to do. I think that the scripture has sort of universal instructions to do those things and that God enables us to do them. I don't know, perhaps there's some way and someone has a special ability, but I think that it's there for everybody. For one example, to just flesh that out a little further, I'll point to Paul's gift or Paul's call to a person to give generously if he or she has the gift or the capacity to give. Now, I chose that gift, I suppose, quite intentionally from this list because I haven't preached about giving, financial giving, in 2 years of preaching here. I'm scared of it. Not really. I don't know if it just hasn't become present in the passages and the series we've worked on. So without, you know, particularly belaboring the point, we do recognize that some aspects of the work that God inspires the church, his followers, to do on earth will not get done if people don't give generously and financially to the ministry of the church and exercise the gift that God has given them to do exactly that. See, the point that I've been working toward here with this conversation about these lists is that the lists of gifts in Paul's letters are best not understood to mean that they are all the gifts there are, and that none of them are given to everyone. I think that if we understand them as being comprehensive, and then try to figure out if we have them or not, or the gifts as never applying to everyone, then we might do less in the church than is best. So let's consider now what Paul tells us about the purpose God has for giving gifts to humans. In the Ephesians passage, Paul declares strongly that the purpose God has in mind when he gives humans gifts is that the Christian church would be strengthened and developed. He writes that people are given gifts in the church in order to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the church would be built up, so that we would become united in living out the call to follow Jesus faithfully, and so that we would become mature in becoming more like Jesus. He concludes that passage with an entire paragraph about how the use of the gifts God has given helps every member of the body, that is the church, grow together toward Jesus, who is the head of that body. Each part does its work, and the whole body beautifully grows together toward Jesus. I've made some suggestions about how to view the spiritual gifts in the list that Paul gives in his letters and about the purpose of those gifts. Clearly, it's important that we recognize that God has given each of us abilities and interests to be used in the church so that the church would be a better place. I want to consider a few other ideas with you about the use of gifts in the church. Natural Church Development believes that a fruitful church should develop a gift discernment ministry so that everyone in the church would take one of these gift discernment tests. Find out what their gifts are. Well, you already have an idea what I think about that. But it's an interesting idea to consider. And then that the church would have a group of people who would work with these tests and who would help to direct people into areas of service ministry in the church to which they are well suited. Now, having taken a few of those kinds of tests this week, I again wonder about them. I feel like, okay, the test asked me what I like to do, and I said what I like to do, and at the end it tells me that's my gift. Yeah, okay, makes sense, right? And I suspect that we all kind of know what we're good at and what we like to do. Yeah, some of us are younger and need to figure that out. Some of us maybe haven't tried enough things to figure that all out, so we do some of those things. We try some new things, we find out if this works with us or not. We ask some other people, what do you think? Or we just listen to them tell us when they think that we've done something well. Hopefully they don't tell us too much when they think we've done something badly, huh? So it goes. But we pay attention. We pay attention to what we enjoy doing and what works well, and we listen to other people, and we move ahead. So I find the idea of taking tests and having a program for matching people with roles in the church to be questionable. However, I think there is good wisdom in the idea that people in the church might think about what they're good at before agreeing to roles. So Christian Schwartz of Natural Church Development likes to create the image of a wagon moving down the road, and the wagon has square wheels on it. The wagon doesn't move very well. And the wagon has, in the wagon, a whole rack of round wheels. Well, this thing would have worked better if somebody put the round wheels on, right? And the wagon would have moved. He likes to create that image. Ingrid gave us a different kind of image about trying to do things that we're not good at. That's the point of this image that Christian Schwartz has. And in fact, I have no quarrel with that idea. I think, in fact, that our passage this morning directs us toward thinking like that as well. In the passage there in Romans, Paul wrote about encouraging us to think, to people to think of themselves not more highly than they should. Now, we might read those words and think that Paul intends that we all think badly of ourselves. Right? We're in danger of being proud, and so we should really not think too highly of ourselves. We might read those words like that, and in fact, I think that in the history of the Mennonite church, they have often been read like that. And people have said, I'm not good at anything, and thought that it was a nice gesture of humility. That's really not very helpful to the Christian church. It's not very helpful to God. I think that Paul is rather saying something very much like Christian Schwartz, or like Ingrid said this morning, we have God-given abilities that are for use in the church. Now, if we try to do things that are really not in our area of gifting because we think more highly of ourselves than we should, then we're like that cart with square wheels. And I think the converse idea is that when we recognize that we are gifted and could be quite good at something, we would do well to serve God and the church in that area. All right, let me add a few more comments regarding the discovery and use of gifts. I think the premise underlying Paul's writing about gifts and the church in our discussion this morning is that followers of Jesus will want to offer their abilities for God's use within the context of the church. And so I think we do well to look at ourselves and ask whether we are resistant to that idea. And then to reconsider the notion that God calls every one of us to use our gifts in service to God in our world and in the church. And then I would suggest, as I already have, I think, that we not concern ourselves overly with trying to analyze what our gifts are. Let's listen to others and try things out and do the things that we feel energy for and find joyful. If there's nothing that we find energizing or joyful in the service of God, then I suppose we might ask ourselves some questions about how our connection to God is. But I think we could move forward with the idea that all of us can find something energizing or joyful in which to participate in the ministry of the church. And when we find those things, I suggest that we will be doing, well, and then we do them, then we will be doing gift-based ministry in the church. And so in the end, let's accept the idea that we are gifted by God to participate in his work on this earth. Let's join in God's work in areas where we find ourselves joyful and energized. Let's work together at ministry for God in such a way that our church grows in becoming more like Jesus. Let's pray. Once again, our gracious God, we thank you for the way that you live and work within us, that you grant to human beings abilities and interests, and that by the Holy Spirit within us, you are using those in your work and in the church. So grant us energy and joy as we think about what that means for each of us individually, and encourage us. Lead us and guide us as we use those in the church to make our church a better place, growing toward you. Guide us by your Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Please turn to number 420 in your blue hymnal.
Stand for the benediction as you are able, and remain standing for our closing song. Go from here and live lives worthy of the one calling which we all share. In humility, gentleness, and patience, strive to be valuable members of the body of Christ. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.